With your money briefing, I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. This week, we're looking ahead to 2019 and ways you can be smarter with your money. The stock market jitters and gyrations in the fourth quarter add an extra level of uneasiness heading into the new year. And consumers can stay ahead of the game by being wise with savings and paying close attention to interest rates on their savings accounts. Emily Shalal is Senior Director of Customer Strategy and Innovation for Ally Bank, and she joins us on the line. So, Emily, we do a lot of things to save money during the year, like adjust our cable TV service and maybe even dial back on the fancy coffee, but a lot of people don't pay attention to interest rates and the value of those rates on their savings accounts.
We think it's funny, and a Harris poll that we did earlier this year showed that 3 out of 4 consumers, you know, actually do care about things like their cable bill and how much they're spending, and they're willing to actually move cable providers to save, you know, $10 a month over the course of the period. And what we found is a lot of people don't understand that they can get, you know, a pretty hefty raise on their savings just by looking around and investigating, you know, what banks are providing and paying in the market. And so a quick Google search will show that, you know, on average, all U.S. savings accounts are earning 0.09%. And if you look at even the top players in market, so your kind of big four banks, it's even less than that. And, you know, on average, online banks or digital only institutions are paying 20 times the average. So, you know, even at Ally today, we're paying 2% on a savings account. So you could get an automatic 2% raise on your money just by doing a quick search.
And I guess people oftentimes make the mistake of opening up the savings account where they have their checking account. And it's a good idea to know that there's much more to the savings world out there.
And, you know, a lot of people assume that they need their savings account where their checking is. And it's just, you know, people tend to view those as a sister relationship. And what we found is, you know, you really should try to decouple those. And, you know, you have a long-term savings and you may need a short-term savings. And it's fine to have those accounts at the same institution. But for the bulk of your savings, you really should be at the highest rate provider, one that gives you both service and rate and gives you the most value for your money.
And what's an attractive interest rate if you're not making good use of it? People should be focusing on paying themselves and putting aside funds to make regular payments and regular deposits if they have an account.
When it comes to paying yourself first, it's funny. There's a whole paradigm shift that really needs to happen in market. People tend to look at their budgets and say what's left over at the end of the month, you know, for savings. And really, we think it's how much is my income? How much should I be saving out of that income? And what should my expenses be from what's left? And we find that a lot of people don't do that. And so it's probably the best and easiest way to start saving is to really shift that way of thinking.
And we'll have more with Ally Bank's Emily Shalal here on Your Money Briefing right after this. We're back with Ally Bank's Emily Shalal and how to use online savings accounts to your advantage. And if people do open up an online account or a digital account, sometimes that can be a little intimidating. It's a fairly simple process of moving money from, let's say, your checking account to your savings account if you have some extra funds left over that you want to push into savings to put away for a rainy day.
You know, it's funny because this is a question that we've gotten since we started Ally Bank in 2009, and it takes less than 5 minutes to open a savings account here. And one of our values has been our customer base from the get-go has been an older, less technology savvy customer base. And if they can do it, anyone can do it. It's a very simple, painless process. And, you know, linking an existing checking account takes a matter of seconds for majority of people. At, you know, worst case, you may have to wait a couple of days, but after that couple of days, it's seamless and it's easy breezy going forward.
There are a few other best practices for people to be mindful of, and that is, I guess, for one thing, to reassess the recurring and auto payments they have set up and to make sure they're actually using those services.
Absolutely. So in today's world, we live in a subscription society. You know, our Netflixes, our music subscriptions, everything. And we found just in our own research here that a lot of people, even husbands and wives, have their own accounts and don't realize that the other one is also paying. And so I think just doing a regular audit of what are those monthly subscription and recurring charges coming out of your account? One, are they a necessity? Or are they just, you know, something that you may thought you need and now don't, and to reevaluate those. And a lot of people get caught up in these free trial periods to where you put your credit card number in, you think you're getting 30 days free, you never use the service, but you never go back to stop paying that fee. So just doing a regular audit to understand what is coming out of your account is very helpful for most people.
And when you're doing that audit, just to make sure you're not really sending money out the window, it's a good idea to take a snapshot of your monthly income and expenses and see if you can add some discipline and put yourself on a budget.
For us, we believe that there is a pretty strong correlation between fitness tracking and financial fitness tracking. And it's just like when you start a fitness program, if you track the calories that you eat, if you track the steps that you take, you're a lot more likely to stick to that program. And it's the same thing here. If you understand what you're spending and write everything down, you can audit, you know, what your actual spending habit is to go back and reflect on that and make changes going forward. And we think there's a whole lot of power in just seeing something in writing versus what somebody may believe they are spending to what they're doing. If you can just understand the distinct differences, you're going to make a lot of change in a pretty quick time period, because we do find that people do this mental math and they always underestimate how much they're spending on frivolous things.
All right. Very good advice from Ally Bank's Emily Shalal, joining us via Skype. Emily, thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.